taken this up to Nazareth. As of the date this man was arrested, to March the 3rd, a matter of 8 full months, as I calculated. 8 full months, the report pleases, and I listen to Mr. Foreman again and about his philosophy. But I haven't heard up until this time what date Mr. Foreman has in mind, other than March the 3rd will not be enough time for him. We're not talking about 3 days, John. We're talking about 8 full months.
I thought you said a word now, Mr. Dwyer. I don't want to hear this re-argued, if you please. You're getting a sore rebuttal here.
Well, Your Honor, could have stopped me before I started.
You said you had a word. Now you're going into a peroration.
Well, the court doesn't want to hear any more from me after that.
Yes, sir, that's enough. This is a most unusual case. It's so from the beginning. And as it goes on, it gets more and more unusual. From what I read in the press and what I've been told here in this court and otherwise, Mr. Ray was referred to Mr. Haynes through Mr. Huey. Contracts were made with Mr. Huey for the sole right to write his life story and also to sell such a story to the motion pictures, perhaps in the future. And Mr. Haynes had an assignment to Mr. Ray for these funds. In other words, Mr. Huey was to pay Mr. Ray for story of his life and to be delivered to Mr. Haynes, who in turn would deliver it to Mr. Huey, who in turn was to peddle it to some publishing house, magazine, and so forth. So when Mr. Ray disposed of Mr. Haynes' services, he also severed his lines of communication with Mr. Huey.
Truth to answer questions asked you about your indigency at this time.
Yes.
All right.
money or property available to make available for the investigation of your case and for the expenses of so investigating it? This case are peculiar in that, as I observed once before, that you have some 360 potential witnesses. They're scattered over North America and Europe. You, as I understand it, practice alone.
Yes, sir.
I think that we have here one of the finest public defenders' offices that I know anything about. They have the necessary expertise and the necessary spirit and policy. They don't merely put up a token defense, they put up a real defense, and I think nothing pleases them more than to put it on the stage. I think that this, the requirements of this case necessitate giving you some additional manpower to ready this case for trial. If it's humanly possible to try this case on March 3rd, we should do so for many, many reasons. And so I see Mr. Stanton here, Mr. Hugh Stanton. Go in order, please, sir. I want to appoint the public defender in this case. And Mr. Stanton, I want you and your office to ready this case for trial under the direction of control of Mr. Foreman. I want you to assign as many assistants as are necessary to that end. And if you'll get with Mr. Foreman today after when we recess, we'll meet each other and make arrangements to get to work on this case, because I want to try it on March 3rd if it's humanly possible. Of course, if God's not willing, or if someone's ill or something of that sort, well, we have to continue it, well, so be it. If it's humanly possible to try it, then I want to try it. And I want the public defender's office to give you the necessary help to ready this case for trial. And I think that this is an unusual case, and I think it would take very unusual circumstances for me to do this again. To have a lawyer who's gotten into a case, you haven't been paid a fee, and I say the way I feel about it is that you've donated your services. I don't see that you've also must donate your funds and your money to working this case up. I think that this is the only answer to the matter, and I think that it's not a precedent for an ordinary run-of-the-mill case. I mean, the foreman has not been paid a fee, and his client is indigent. He has a most unusual lawsuit, which the court is interested. I believe the community is interested in trying as soon as possible to get
it. Yeah, I see. I share the court's respect for the public defender of this county, and so does all of America familiar with the public defender system. There's three outstanding public defender's offices in this country. One is in Los Angeles, one is in Miami, and one is in Memphis.
Now, Mr. Coleman, I believe I'd better ask you this time. In Tennessee, in Shelby County, the clerk's office here are special reporters, and they'll take this case down on records here. I noticed a private reporter here. Are you going to hire that out of your pocket, or do you want this clerk to write up this record for you?
Yes, please, the court. I'm familiar with the statute, almost peculiar to the state of Tennessee, in that the law does not presently permit the appointment by the court of a regular official court reporter. And I intend to raise the question as a point of law. The legislature having failed to give the relief sought at different times by the bar and the bench, probably in the furnishing of a court reporter, as other states do, I intend to file constitute system does not constitute due process of law, and I intend to request that this court appoint, in addition to the system of recording, an official court reporter at the state's expense, and to preserve it as a basic constitutional error in the event it is not done. I know of no authority to give the court the right to do it. I'll so say it. But it's not this court's responsibility. That's the state of the law of Tennessee, and it's my duty to undertake to see what the ultimate courts may say in that regard. I don't mean it as a reflection on the court if he fails to grant it. I would say this. That is one of the appalling factors. I didn't mention it. I only mentioned the investigative, but I was talking about the expense of trying a case here as being such an industry department. It's been estimated, Your Honor, that a daily copy in this case would cost in their thousands by the week, which, of course, is not available. Thank you.